Pre-show announcement. I am going on tour. I will be touring all over the East Coast at the end of March. Check out the dates on my website. New York, Pennsylvania. I am coming to you. Georgia, I am coming to you. Massachusetts, I am coming to you. I will be all over the place. Go look at the dates on my website. I hope to see you guys at the end of March. Hello, friends, and thank you for tuning into the Duncan Trussell Family Hour podcast. We are sponsored by Audible. Go to audibletrial.com/family hour and sign up for a trial membership. We get $15. We're also sponsored by Shore Design T-shirts. You can go to shoredesignt-shirts.com, put my name in, you'll get 10% off some of their amazing shirts. You can also support us by going to Amazon.com and going through our portal and buying stuff. If you go to DuncanTrussell.com and go through the Amazon portal, we get a percentage of whatever you buy. You can also go to DuncanTrussell.com and buy a goddamn shirt. Or you can, if you really want to get hardcore and freebase this motherfucking podcast, you can donate too. No matter what you do, I love you and I'm glad that you listen. Sorry, I don't want to do a long intro because I'm really excited about this podcast and the conversation that I had with my friend, DJ Doug Pound, Doug Lussenhop. He has one of the most unique and brilliantly funny comedic voices that I know of. He's a writer. He wrote on Tim and Eric. He also wrote on Portlandia. He's got a myriad of hilarious videos that you can watch online. I'll post some of them at DuncanTrussell.com on the comment section of this podcast. So everybody, please welcome to the Duncan Trussell Family Hour, the sweetest DJ of them all, the amazing Doug Lussenhop, a.k.a. DJ Doug Pound.
My mic is my favorite mic.
I like my mic.
Doug Pound.
I love my mic.
I love my mic. I'm not.
Can you turn mine up just a touch?
Yeah, I'd love to turn yours up a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Is that a little better for you there, buddy?
Native spirit.
I think we need to be at the same level here. I'll just turn these phones down. Now, I want to talk to you a little bit about somebody who's really special to both of us. Mike.
My mic?
Yeah, your mic is just a wonderful man.
How's your mic been?
My mic?
Yeah, how's everything going with your mic?
Is he
cool? Is he letting you do your thing?
Letting me do my thing? He's my mic.
Yeah, but sometimes, you know, you got the mic and the mic, you're at the lake and then the mic's like,
hey, we got to put a rope around this.
We got to talk. How come you're not talking to me as much as you used to?
There's always a son of a bitch who wants to put a fucking rope around something. That's the problem. There's like people in the world who want to run through the wilderness of life, enjoying it, eating fruit from the sweet nectar dripping trees of paradise. And then there's another species that just wants to put ropes around everything.
Yeah, why do they do that?
You know, I think...
I mean, there has to be some ropes here and there, don't you think? Because if you're just an unbridled fruit pig, you know, if you're just an unchecked fruit pig, you know, there's going to be one pig that just gets it all.
Let me just make sure this is recording.
Hello, we're back.
Now, this thing about fruit pigs, man, yeah, that's one of the big ideas is that you need the rope layers to make your life a thing that you can rebel against. Like, because rebellion is so pleasurable, And there's a joy that comes from rebelling against authority, rebelling against constrictive aspects of the material universe. You need them, because if you didn't have that, you wouldn't have rebellion. Without rebellion, you would be in hell.
I need some kind of rules once in a while. Like, if I'm going to go to a comedy show, for example, I want it to be a theme night of only Asians and talking about Asian humor.
Yes.
And what it's like to be an Asian. I don't want anyone going up there talking about any old thing.
You know,
you know what I mean?
I know.
Like, I like when it's tight.
And I got to tell you, man.
Actually, I don't.
This
I'm kidding,
fucking.
You know what I'm saying?
I was going to go along with the improv and say that these Asian nights are falling apart all over town. It used to be you could go to an Asian themed show and it really was all Asians. But now.
Now they're branching out to Pakistani. And,
yeah.
You know, which is probably Asia still. But I mean. You
no,
know,
but I want Chinese.
I don't want brown Asian. I want like.
I only
Caucasian Asians.
I want a stand-up show of just blue-eyed Chinese comedians. That's my favorite style. That's my favorite style.
That is my favorite style.
I love hearing what people have to say about their ethnicity. I love it when someone gets on stage with the courage to talk about what it's like to have parents of two different ethnicities.
And then why? What's different about each? How they're different than other people?
It makes a difference.
Yeah, because their cultural upbringing makes it hilarious.
It makes it hilarious and brave, and it connects everyone in the room because we all find out that there's something to laugh about in everybody.
My mic.
My mic.
My mic.
My mic.
My mic.
My mic. Oh, man. This fucking goddamn Pope resignation thing has got the world.
The world is shaken. Boy, that was unexpected that the Pope resigned. And what does he do anyway?
They treated it like a meteor impact.
Like, what is he? What, it doesn't have any effect on anything,
he's
does
the,
it?
Oh, he is the basically like the Christian version of Santa Claus. So not the real Santa Claus, but the ones that go in the shopping mall. I'm not talking about like ideas. Like, so I believe it is Peter. In the New Testament, Jesus said to Peter, I think it was Peter, said to one of the apostles, one of the disciples, I give you my church, right? And so as Jesus was going to be crucified, he had to sort of pass the torch on for someone to build a church based on Christianity. So the Pope is somehow supposed to be in that lineage going all the way back to Jesus Christ. So the Pope is a representation of the divine will of Jesus springing into the world through a man. That's how I understand it. But really, the truth is the Pope is just this old guy that they put in a funny costume and everybody projects what they think Jesus is onto the Pope. So it's like Santa Claus.
Okay, so he resigns. How does that change anything?
It changes nothing for us. But for Catholics and devout Catholics, this is a shocking. A Pope hasn't resigned since the 1400s. So this is just like a crushing, shocking.
What a blow.
It's a blow.
It's a crushing blow.
It's a crushing blow. It's identical. It would be. This is very similar to like if a kid for years had been going to the same Santa Claus at the mall and suddenly the Santa Claus quits.
Oh, that would be a shakeup.
That's a shakeup because you're like, oh, Jesus, what? I mean, why is God allowing one?
Because usually they don't quit. They just stay Pope until they die.
Until they die. And already someone retweeted a Twitter account. Someone retweeted a Catholic's tweet, which is like the shocked, like this is sad news. And I went and looked through that person's Twitter thread. And she was implying that he shouldn't have quit. She was implying that, like, if he feels sick, he should. That's
basically he's
the
getting
will
divorced.
Of God.
He's getting divorced from Jesus, right? It's like getting a divorce. It's like, no, till death do you part.
Yeah, you don't.
Till death do you Pope.
You don't quit that job, but he feels sick. He's just this old man who's getting sick. So it's like, and he's
right.
think of your day to day activity is based on perpetrating one of the most insane illusions of all time. Like, you have to, you're a wall.
Maybe he's having an an existential crisis, and he's being the absurd man.
He's transformed into the, well, no, he is. I mean, this is that's Satan, I guess. Satan would, maybe Satan like confront.
You think Satan is the absurd man trying to, that's what is revealed to us?
I think that a devout Christian that came into contact with existentialism, which is essentially just for the fundamentalist Christian, is just like throwing hot water on ice cubes. It's like, Christianity or theism in the traditional sense does not stand up to the existential idea, because it just is like, yeah, great. Okay, so there's a God. Great. So there's a God. Great. I'm still a human, and I still am confronted with my own mortality, and I'm still confronted with the problem of like this God, because this God is just shitting all over my free will anyway. So
let's talk about the absurd man in a second, but I have a quick thought, or something I heard is, I heard that there's a possibility that the next pope could be the first African-American pope.
Yes.
Or African or black.
I think.
Do you think, Duncan?
Yes.
That there will ever be a heterosexual pope?
I think that that's impossible. that's like a dry.
Maybe the dude now is heterosexual. He's just like, look, man, I gotta quit. I'm down with God and everything, but you can't do both. You can't be straight and be a pope, right? I mean, that's not.
That's like
happen.
A dry fish.
Yeah,
that's, you can't be a living dry fish.
You can't do that.
Yeah.
Am I blaspheming right now?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Really bad.
Hey, look, if you're out there, Pope, what's his name? The 16th?
Pope Benedict.
Pope Benedict the 16th. I'm just kidding, man. I didn't mean it.
Listen, my friend, congratulations.
My head it bows to you, and I will do 10 Hail Marys tonight.
I bow to you too, oh sweet God clown. Congratulations for taking those robes
off. I'm
going to
do a couple Our Fathers. I'll throw a couple Our Fathers in there. And probably 10 Hail Marys. And I'll even throw a Hail Mary in my football game later.
Do you know how to do a Hail Mary for real?
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Our God,
blessed art thou among...
Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, Father of sinners, now at the hour of our death, amen.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, and in the hour of our death, amen. Holy Mary, Mother of God, million eyeballs in the earth. Holy Mary, Mother of God, dark tentacles wrapped around my mouth. Holy Mary, Mother of God, open the coffin and inside make love to the corpse.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, there's more stars in the sky than there are grains of sand in the entire earth.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, everything we thought about the universe was completely wrong and based on a primitive desert ideology.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, if the entire length of existence is the length of a football field, humankind is only the size of a blade of grass.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, it's far more interesting to actually give birth to a real human being than some infinite immortal son of God that has nothing to really worry about, because then that doesn't represent the true actualization of the human spirit.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, if I'm going to have kids and they're just going to get mowed down at school, what's the fucking point of anything?
Holy Mary, Mother of God. What is... Holy Mary, Mother of God, can God make a child so big he can't molest it? That's my old tweet. I tweeted that last night. I'm proud of it. I'm proud of the tweet.
Can he make a child so big that he can't molest it?
Could God make a child so big he can't molest it? It's...
So God can't molest?
Well, it's a stupid twist on the question that you ask any like person who believes on the infallibility and the idea that God can do anything, or anyone who's humanized God. It's that dumb. I mean, this is like something in this third grade someone asked me, and it like almost sent me into shock because I never thought about it. But it's like, can God make a rock so big he can't move it? Because you have, like, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
This being,
okay,
that can do anything, but can the being do a thing that makes it so the being's incapable of doing anything, therefore making it so the being can't do anything anymore? Can the being essentially negate its own existence? In other words, if God can't negate God's own existence, then God is not really capable of all things.
Hmm.
That's the problem. So,
but let me back up.
So that's how you make a God disappear. You're like, really? Can you make yourself eternally vanish? Poof, con.
It's like getting the three. No, there's rules to it. It's like you get that genie, and he's like, you can't wish for more wishes. I mean, there's some rules here.
Yeah. Yeah, well, God is supposed to be, I mean, like, I'm not talking about what I would consider my idea of what God is, but if you take the...
But you're kind of an agnostic. Would you consider yourself an agnostic?
I wouldn't consider myself an agnostic.
Would you consider yourself a Gnostic?
I would be more of a Gnostic than an agnostic.
Are you an atheist?
No. I would never. I can never be an atheist, ever. I'm not an atheist, but I think a lot of Christian fundamentalists would look at my perception of God as being more atheist than not.
Me too.
But I think...
You know what I was thinking today? Because I heard them talking about the Pope, and this woman was like, the Holy Spirit will guide that new man in his choice or whatever.
Yes.
And I'm thinking about the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And you know what? Maybe the Holy Spirit is real and that other shit ain't. Maybe there's a Holy Spirit. I kind of like the idea of there's a Holy Spirit.
There is a Holy Spirit for sure.
Because it's not like a human. It's not like God or a son. It's a spirit.
It's a transcendent.
It's a spirit. Why can't there be a native spirit? It says native spirit on your hat. It says wolf spirit on your hat, too.
It is a wolf spirit. It's a spirit of all things.
Yeah.
It's a thing that lies within all life. But it's in that thing, and the really interesting thing about that thing, if you can connect to that idea and really believe it, which I do, then that thing is always like transmuting its form according to every single moment in time. So that thing, the Holy Spirit, is expressing itself through all existence. So the Pope and you and a dog are all the exact same thing expressing itself in all these different kaleidoscopic forms. And so some people respond to, like, the thing's talking to itself, the thing's sort of like evolving through matter and talking to itself. So I'm talking to me when I talk to you. And when the Pope talks to the great many people who like harmonize with that message, it's really just this consciousness expressing itself in the ritualistic pattern. And
so the Holy Spirit is telling itself to not wear condoms in third world countries.
Yes. Yes. It's coming through. It's more like what's happening. What happens is there's the truth. Man, this is something that I've gotten really into lately, is the truth.
Raw dogging it.
Raw dogging it, dude. Because it really is like raw dogging reality, man. And so many people like try to like lubricate their experience of existence by deluding themselves about what's really happening. Because the truth is this fucking painful, painful thing. And especially if you've been spending your whole life away from the truth, it's no different than having a Vicodin addiction. If you're like taking pain pills all the time, but the narcotics you're taking or whatever dilute is whatever.
I don't like raw dogging it like that so much. Like when I smoke pot, when I smoke, you know, a good couple puff downs, you know?
Yeah. Puff downs.
It's like I'm raw dog. I'm just like, I go into this state of thought of like, holy shit, this shit is real. Yes. I'm alive right now.
Yes.
And this is fucking scary. I shouldn't go outside. Like, you know, I unplug all my computers. I'm like, they're watching.
Yeah.
They know. Yeah. I'm like, what do they know? They're just watching.
They're watching.
Yeah, I don't like that feeling.
I used to hate it, but now
you
like
raw dogging it.
I like raw dogging it, dude. Because what happens is after you get over the initial like shock of the thing, which is like, oh fuck, man. Not only am I mortal, I'm an asshole. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm the worst.
I'm a mortal asshole. And then you're sort of like sitting there like, ah, Jesus Christ. I'm like, this is what I just read, this great quote from Camus. And he said, so you're familiar with the notion of original sin, right? Which is the idea that human beings in the Garden of Eden fucked up.
We're
all sinners, right? So Camus says, absurdism, being an absurd human, is original sin without God. So it's like realizing that you're this fallible, stumbling, hideous, ridiculous ape, but there's nothing else besides that.
Did I tell you that I was a Christian in high school?
Yeah, you did.
Did I talk about that on the last podcast?
I don't think you did, but I don't remember, but you have told me that.
I don't think I told it on the last podcast.
So you were, what kind of Christian were you?
Like a born-again Christian.
Born-again Christian.
Oh, like I was a Catholic growing up.
Yeah.
So it was almost like a rebellion because my mom was like, I don't know what this is. It's not Catholic, but it was Jesus is there. So she was kind of cool with it.
How did it happen?
I think around eighth grade, I took like a history class and I started to learn about deep history. And I'm like, holy shit, this is fucked up. I'm like, what is the point? How, you know, you, it's that first reality of like, what is, there's no Santa Claus kind of thing, you know?
Yes.
And then I was just sort of like bummed out, like about life, that it meaningless or something. Then my best friend in high school, his mom sent us to a Christian camp and it was really fun. Kind of had like the time of my life in Colorado. So, and then they talked about original sin and I'm like, yeah, you're right. I mean, if we're all sinners, like that sounded, that made sense to me. They're like, everyone's a sinner. And if whether you commit one sin or a million sins, we're all equally, we're all on the same playing field. And I was like, that kind of makes sense.
Yes.
And the whole morality, and then everyone there kind of seemed like a righteous dude.
Yeah.
So I was kind of into it. They were kind of like cool. It's like a cool camp. Cool Christians.
Well, there. That's the, see, here's the thing, man. Christianity is a bona fide, beautiful way to access that supreme consciousness that exists.
And
in the
universe. Felt really good about life. It just made me feel really comforted.
It is
very comforting.
Comforting is the right word for it too. You know, it is comforting. I mean, that's
kind of like something to latch onto. Like instead of just floating around with no rope, I had a rope.
Yeah. Yeah. See, this, I, you know, it's like the rope that's connecting, but it's like,
I figured out that rope was made out of lies, though.
I know. That's the problem.
It's the worst.
Well, no, but see, this is, I mean, this is the disease of Christianity. I mean, this is the disease of modern Christianity. Is you have like this energy that burst out of the human field of consciousness around the time that Jesus was alive. There, something exploded into our awareness. Like there's these instances happen throughout time. For example, there was a period where people only drew in two dimensions, you know. They only drew, like, if you look at hieroglyphics, you know, it's all 2D. People, primitive people would always draw in 2D. They hadn't, like, come up with perspective yet.
When did they come up with them glasses?
Well, the really,
I know what you're saying, the perspective.
It was like, all of a sudden, something happens in the human brain where they realize, wait, we can draw in 3D. Bang! That is the artistic representation of a transformation that was happening in human consciousness altogether. So in the same way, this thing bursts into human consciousness, which is the idea of Jesus. And the idea of Jesus, whether a real person or not, probably a real person, but that idea was like...
Think he gay?
I think he was...
Like 12 dudes hanging around with him?
I think he was everything. I think he would have had no problem having sex with a guy or a girl or anything, because I don't think that idea,
he was asexual,
is so purely in the moment that it's not like it doesn't get caught. People who are most like Jesus that I've met, they're too smart to get like wound up in any kind of any trap, any box, not just like sexual attraction or whatever. They're so beyond like being a fucking monkey that they're not like, they're never putting themselves in this box of like, this is what I am. And no, this is what I am. Because that's like a very, the common man is always putting themselves into boxes and shit. And that thing that came exploding out of human consciousness way back when, approximately 2013 years ago, was this idea of like, no, what we are is so much bigger than life. That was the idea. It's not your life is nothing. Your life is just this tiny flickering speck of nothingness. It's nothing. Your life is nothing. Are you really concerned about your fucking life? Is that what you're caught up in? Your life, your little identity? Because there's a much bigger identity. And that's what you really are. And so
I'm kind of worried about my life and my online caricature.
Really?
No.
Oh.
I tried to make a joke and I couldn't find the right word.
Your online,
persona.
Your
my online persona is really important to me.
It is?
Nah.
I mean, listen, I get caught up in that shit for reals.
I just try to have fun with it.
Like, I have fun with it, but I get worried about it sometimes. Anytime you get result-oriented, everything goes to shit. Anytime you get, like, you know, you start doing art or online stuff for a reason, You know what I'm saying? Like, you're like, ah, I got to get a tweet out today because, you know, I haven't tweeted in a few days.
There's a lot of people that tweet a lot and they're very big on Twitter. And I feel like I hope they're not trapped and like in Twitter prison. Like, oh, I've only tweeted once this morning. I got to get one out. I got to think of a joke right now. Yeah. Twitter prison.
Yeah, there you go, dude.
Like me, I go for like days and I don't say anything. And then I go for like, I just tweet when it's right. Not because I think I have to.
You're in the moment.
Shouldn't talk about Twitter on here.
Why?
We're deep in the Holy Spirit.
No. I think
with Twitter is the Holy Spirit.
This is a natural. Yes. It all. I mean, this.
Okay. Go back to the absurd man.
Well, no. Go back to what your question. Do you think Twitter is the Holy Spirit? And I know you're joking, but it's a good question because it's like the idea is that
trends are the Holy Spirit.
Everything. This thing that's happening right now is this bubbling up of matter that happened at the Big Bang. And matter inflated out into the universe. And somewhere during that inflation period, matter woke up. So it's like somewhere during that explosion of stardust, there was a coalescing of that matter. And that matter formed into what you are right now. I mean, it's not just that you're all the mashed potatoes and broccoli that your mom ate while she was pregnant with you. It's that prior to that, you're the...
How do you know?
Your mom ate. But everything's... The idea that is not palatable to many people is when you start to think, okay, fucking the Pope is one message of this movement that's happening in our consciousness. The Pope is God, and I am God, and Eddie Vedder's God, and everything's a different expansion of this consciousness. When you start thinking like that, it gets very frustrating because you can no longer fucking judgment or the judgment game or the joy that comes from looking at this person and being like, man, that person's a fucking cunt. You know, getting in fights on message boards suddenly becomes like you still do it, but you look at it like, my, what am I doing? I'm upset at like God. I'm railing against life, you know, and that becomes it invites you when you begin to realize that everything is just this expression of this Holy Spirit. It invites you to start being non-judgmental. And that is fucking hard and not very fun.
It is hard. Especially when there's pigs and cunts out there.
These fucking cunts.
You guys, like, Jesus happened 2,000 years ago, and we have the internet. Everyone's supposedly getting smarter, but why are we blowing everything up? I'm sounding like some kind of, like, left-wing fruitcake or something. But
no,
like, why are we in all these wars, and, like, why are we there? You know what I read today? The shooter, the guy who actually shot Bin Laden.
Yes.
He is like back in the States and he has no health care. He can't afford like to like take care of his family. Like, what the fuck?
Well, this is now.
Because he quit the army or the military. Like, he didn't fill his 20 years that'll get him his pension or whatever it is.
You're dealing with is.
Why are we having all these wars?
Well, what's interesting is not why are we having all these wars, but that question is emerging more and more and more into the consciousness of human beings. And small examples are becoming huge examples. Like, for example, a soldier goes to war, kills a villain, comes back to the empire, and is no longer taken care of by the empire. Now, this, I'm sure... This thing of the soldier going to war and coming back to the kingdom and having a shitty life. I imagine this has been going on since there's been wars. But now, because of the acceleration of human consciousness, one example of that balloons out and becomes like this giant thing. And that creates cognitive dissonance in our entire species to some degree on a scale that it never has before because we're changing.
Like, there's so much talk about, I mean, I'm glad that the troops are getting... They're in the news all the time. The troops this. The troops have problems with this. But my question is, why are there troops? You know what I mean? Yes. How come no one's asking that question? They're all asking, oh, they're all coming back with post-traumatic stress disorder, and there's a movie, Silver Linings Playbook, about someone like that. But no one's making a movie about, like, why is there a troop?
Yeah.
Like, why do they even have them?
Well,
That's my question, that why, you know, who's... I'm just repeating myself again.
No, it's a great question. And it's a question of, like, why is there destruction? Like, so when you have war, you have the human equivalent of a seismic...
I just don't understand what these wars are for.
It's seismic events rolling through the mind of society. It's what you're seeing is these expressions of deeper dissonances existing within the undeveloped consciousness of our species, and that manifests as the conflict that we call war. It's
English, please.
It's a it's a fucking expression of something inside of us on a massive scale. Inside of every single person is this, basically what you're witnessing, especially when you have a war, is you're seeing truth. You're seeing truth, which is the conflict, but you're seeing people who are generally engaging in the activity based on an illusion. So when the war is happening, what's really happening is you have on one side, let's say the most wars can be cracked down to one fundamental illusion, and that's the illusion of separateness, which is that I think that you're different from me. And if I think you're different from me, then I can kill you. So the original religion is one of unification. That's what the eternal path is one of, like, this is our planet. We're all one consciousness. We're all one species. And we have to get out of our heads this idea of a God externalized who has these crazy fucking ideas, or a state externalized where there's the founding fathers and the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. These are all phantasmal symbolic ideas that we attach ourselves to, and we believe in them so much that we kill for them, instead of the real truth, which is we are all on a planet together. There's the name of the land masses that we live on are not the names that we give them right now. They never had a name. It's just one beautiful extrusion of, I said extrusion, I've been trying not to say that word too much. It's just this one beautiful explosion of life happening in the fractal that is the universe, and we're all little petals of this flower.
Well, that's how I feel, and I feel like, why aren't people just saying, enough with this, enough with the bullshit?
Well, I mean...
Like, why am I doing, maybe that's what all the, that's why so many troops have all this post-traumatic stress disorder, because they're like... They're probably having these realizations. Like, maybe in World War II, it was like, okay, the bad guys attacked us. We got to go. And then there's another bad guy, Hitler. We got to do something. But now it's like they're probably over there thinking, like, I don't even know why I'm here.
Even in...
And then that makes it even harder for them to come to grips with the violence that they see and shit like that. Right?
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, I'm not a...
Hell yeah, you're right, though. I mean, think of what they've been through. I mean, you when you go to war, regardless of what side you're on, you're.
But if I go to war and I'm in the war, I want to be like, okay, I have a purpose. I know why I'm here. I don't want to be like I'm shooting against some bad guy and I'm like, why am I a troop?
Yes. Yeah. No. You
have to believe in what you're doing.
You have to believe.
Maybe they just don't believe it.
Right. I see what you're saying.
Maybe that's starting to crumble.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, and also there's the, yeah, I think that is it. That's pretty much it. I think what you're looking at there is the predicament that all of society is going into is this this thing where it's like, it all started with the beautiful death of God in the old way, the God based on the king, the external God. That God died. It all started. This shit already fucking hit. A while ago, this bomb already exploded. But that was the beginning of the sort of like the fundamental false symbol. When that thing crumbled, it was inevitable that all the other false symbols would begin to crumble too. And so we're experiencing that crumbling of all the false symbols. We're beginning to realize, like, the president's just a guy who wears a suit and talks funny. The Constitution is just like... just like any throughout history, it's like any other thing. It's like the Code of Hammurabi or any other thing that's been written down. It's not perfect, and it's not something that is going to last forever. And the United States, oh, the great and mighty United States, just like the Soviet Union.
What are you about to say? What the fuck are you about to say right now?
All things collapse and turn to dust.
No, sir. These stripes do not run.
Oh, they run, baby.
Colors do not run.
They fucking run. They run. It doesn't last forever. What do you think? The United States.
Stars do not fade.
The best thing that can happen for the world is that everybody fucking puts down these goddamn stuffed animals. The stuffed animal of the fucking American patriot and the stuffed animal of the fucking whatever conceptualization of God that you have. Just put down your toys and really fucking look at what's happening. And the moment we, if we could just take that one step as a species, wow, we would be living in the most beautiful, incredible moment in human history. It would be a new renaissance on the level of something that no one had ever experienced before. Suddenly we're like, oh, wait, we're no more of this fucking bullshit war. There's no Afghanistan. There's no United States. There's no England. There's
just nuke them and get done with it?
No, just nuke them.
Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying fucking blow them off the fucking face of the earth, Doug Pan. We gotta kill these motherfucking terrorists. You know what I'm saying.
I know what you're saying. No borders. The borders is the where the water starts.
Yeah.
Where the sharks are.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
You
borders.
Know what? Four non-blondes were right.
What are they?
What's going on?
What's going on? Well, you know that I think that question is like sort of.
I think basically, the state of the world is the way it is because there's just so many people. There's too many people.
Well, I don't.
Or the Earth is too big.
The state,
and then it's getting the smaller it gets, the borders will become less.
The state of the world is not because of too many people. But there's too many people because of the state of human consciousness. The problem is within us. We are clinging to ideas that are no longer relevant or valid, and because of the clinging to this idea, it's very similar to being in a river, and attaching yourself with a hook to a river stone and a part of the river where the current is becoming more and more and more and more powerful. And it's like the tension between what we know to be an illusion and what is actually happening is increasing. And with the increase of that tension, that's what's driving people crazy. That's what's making people put guns in their mouth and blow their brains out. And that's what's making this like incredible turbulence happen, is because there's some people who are in power who can't let go of illusion. And they can't let go of the primary illusion. The primary illusion from which all other illusions spring is the concept of the individual, or the concept that I am a separate thing from you. Primary illusion. Once you buy into that thing, all the other illusions follow in quick succession. We're all one, wow, brother. I'm glad I got that off my chest. Sorry to rant. But you know, the other thing, man, is instead of like blasting this, instead of being too perturbed about the external state of the world, the idea is to bring that question back into your own life and just think about like what are the activities in your own life that you're doing that aren't based on connection with the truth.
Yeah, I mean, I realized recently that one of the worst feelings is, say, you feel like you got dissed by someone, you know, and then you send them a text like, what the fuck? And then they're like, oh, I didn't realize. I feel really bad. That feeling I have after that, when someone else is feeling bad because it was kind of like they started it, but then I just kept it going, you know?
Yes.
I didn't let the first thing that bothered me go. I went back. Again, I railed against it and kind of threw gas on the fire.
Yes.
And then now they're like, you know, a good friend of mine, and they're like, oh, I feel really bad. I feel like shit about that. I shouldn't have done that. I don't want to, I'm like not saying exactly what the incident was, but it's something that bothered me. And then I felt I felt worse about making my friend feel bad than I did when I was mad about the original thing. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, say someone steals a joke from you, and then you're like, what the fuck? Why'd you, you know, that's my bit. And then they're like, oh, man. Oh, I feel like such shit. I can't believe I did that. And then you're like, no, it's okay. And then they're like, oh, I'm the worst. I hate myself. Then you, then it's that second round of that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to eliminate that first. I'm just trying to like not feel. I'm just trying to let things go like that.
Yeah.
That's a little small thing I'm trying to do.
That's good.
Get that Holy Spirit.
Get that Holy Spirit in you, brother. Well, no, you know, one, the practice that I try to do is, instead of like trying to stop it, because I can't stop it. I can't stop the part of me that is angry. I can't stop the part of me that's like horny. I can't stop the part of me that's manipulative. I can't stop the dark part. The id is what they call it. I can't stop that. That's always going to be there, no matter what. So what I try to do is, when the bad feelings come, when anxiety rushes over me.
When you get horny, that's such a bad, evil feeling.
Not a bad feeling. Being horny is a good feeling, but I mean, it can lead to manipulation.
Yeah.
But like when whatever the thing is, it isn't what I would consider to be the way, like Maharaj.
You try to understand that you're feeling this.
I just let it be. It's like, oh, fuck yeah, here it is. And I watch it. This is like what Ram Dass teaches, mindfulness. So it's like, you know, if I'm mad about something, or if like something comes, if the truth comes to me and I'm mad, or I like feel like sad, or I feel like upset or tortured by it, instead of being like, no, trying to find some reorganization of the thing.
I was saying.
Yeah. Exactly.
You don't do that.
No, what you
just write it out.
You let it come into you because you know it's going to go away.
Uh-huh.
That's the main thing. Is like I keep saying this fucking verse, but it's like in the Bhagavad Gita, it says the wise man is not attached to the non-permanent appearance of happiness and distress, because these things come and go like the summer and winter. And it's like you feel this shit come into you. And
you got to express it.
You can express it.
So you're saying I should express it.
You should be yourself. You should just be yourself and let it fucking go, man. And the more you do that, the more you're like, God, yeah, I want, you know what? You just watch and like, man, I'm in a fight right now. What do you know? Doug Lussenhop is in a fucking fight right now. I'm in a fight with a friend. And then before you know it, the fight will transform into something else, and it'll dissipate the anxiety, the bristling thing. Like when someone's at the door and dog bristles and barks, that'll gradually fade away and you'll be back to a normal place again. And then your mind will be perturbed again by some other thing, and this cycle will go on infinitely. But as long as you don't allow yourself to get pulled into believing that's what you are, then you can find this kind of peacefulness, a kind of incredible calm. Because you realize that these momentary disturbances, it's an illusion. It's not what you really are, can't be disturbed.
Did you ever have like a beef with someone and then it's just never the same afterwards? Like every time you run into them, you're kind of like, you're saying hi and you're being nice, but in the you all know that the elephant in the room is this thing that happened 3 years ago.
Yes.
And you can't. That's what I don't like.
Yeah, it's
great. But I had to do it. As you're saying, I had to have that elephant, that beef.
You what did you?
Just like inevitable.
It happened.
Yeah. You think that the elephant will get smaller and shrink down?
Absolutely. Especially if you just like, I mean, it's again, man, the more you're sort of coming from this place of like as much as you can, coming from this place of unitive consciousness as much as you can't do it all the time. But the more you just play around with this idea of like what we're becoming as a species is just something so incredibly beautiful that no longer are we going to be like playing these roles that we've been playing so long. In the big way, we're not going to be playing the Pope game. We're not going to be playing the president game. But in a small way, it's like I don't have to like be attached to my role. I can play it out, but I don't have to be attached to it. You just start recognizing like, okay, I'm playing a role right now. This is my karma. This is my whatever my reactive mechanisms are kicking in right now, and I'm and they're expressing themselves in the form of however I'm reacting to negative or positive phenomena, but that's not me. This is just a temporary disturbance in the energetic field that my body takes up in the great infinite span of all things. So why the fuck am I going to let some temporary little ripple cause me to experience the distress that comes from a person who believes that's all they are? You know, it's like popping out of the fucking little thing into the big thing as much as you can. You're not always going to be able to do it, but it's a fun game. It's just a fun game.
It is a fun game.
Yeah, man. It's a blast and it's exciting and it brings fucking, it brings that sweetness back to life that for a lot of people is gone.
You don't take any antidepressants, do you?
No, I don't.
I don't either, thank God. I feel bad for people that are depressed like that. But also, because it's one of those things that I can't understand what it's really like because I don't have that illness.
Depression.
But when you look at someone like that's depressed all the time and mopey, don't you just want to say, we're just alive, man. Just like things are going to suck. Things are going to be cool. Just like.
Yeah.
Just try or yeah. something, you know, like.
Yeah. Yes.
It's just fun.
You want to heal them. I mean, you get around.
You want to heal them. You want them to say, snap out of it. Snap into life. Snap into a Slim Jim.
Yeah. Fucking.
A little excitement. Yeah. Snap into a Slim Jim.
You're in the Garden of Eden, man. You want to say that. There are fucking water slides everywhere. We're at a water park right now, and you're sitting in the janitor's closet.
Yeah, the water park is only open for like 24 hours.
But the problem with depression is it's a real thing. It's a. Now.
I know. I totally know. I'm totally.
You get a biochemical disturbance. It's like seeing somebody with a broken arm and being like, come on, let's play football, bitch.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you got somebody with this situation happening. But, you know, the best thing that you could do around depressed people is to be happy in an authentic way. Not happy in a bullshit way. Not happy in the sense of like phony happy. But if you can just accept and embrace them, then and when you're around them, then you might give them a little spark that creates the chain reaction that allows them, that takes them out of it. But it's like,
I tried to do that with, I think I started a chain reaction. I was dating this girl for a while recently and she was on antidepressants and she seemed kind of like, it was kind of a deal breaker for me. She seemed kind of like not always there.
Yeah. Well,
my gay uncle told my mom that I'm gay.
Oh, yeah, we have to talk about that. So how did that happen, man? You were telling me that at breakfast, and I think that's important to talk about. How did that happen?
Okay, my uncle, he is in his 70s. He's getting long in the tooth, and he's also heavily medicated. He's on lithium for bipolar. He's on this medicine for that medicine to stop this medicine to stop that medicine. I mean, I looked at his pills in the bathroom. Because I went to visit my mom in Colorado over the Christmas break, and he was there. Hadn't seen him in like 10 years. And I couldn't believe how many pills he was taking. It was just appalling. And because of all the pills, he's kind of out of it. But he's with it enough to like, you know, be coherent and have conversations with. He just kind of rambles on for a while. Anyway, I'm just setting that up. Because maybe this is a reason he told my mom that I told him I was gay.
Yeah.
Because maybe it's all the pills he's on or something. Well, one night, everyone went to sleep, and he kind of, like, started talking to me on the couch, and he was like, you know, Dougie, Gene and I have been together for 38 years, and your mom voted for Romney, and I hope you didn't vote for him because, you know, we would like to get married, and we can't. And I'm like, oh, I'm with you. That's what I said. I'm like, I'm on your side. I was like, you know what? What's the word? I was trying to relate to him.
Yes.
I'm like, I agree with you. You should be able to get married. And I did vote for Obama because his social policies are good. You know, I was like, that's what I said, and I was just, I don't know what the word. What's the word? I'm siding with him.
Empathizing.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And then I didn't really think much about it. And then, like, I come home, and then my sister calls me. She's like, All right, well, I have to tell you something. I'm just going to say it. I'm like, oh, shit, who's got cancer? You know, someone's dying. She's like, Uncle Ken told Mom that you told him you were gay. And it's okay if you are. I'm like, no, it's okay. But it's just weird that it would come out. She was like, it's okay. You know, it's fine. It's just weird that you would you would tell us this way.
That's so funny. That is so hilarious. So now you are you going to live under the shadow of suspicion?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, I don't like to talk about, like, I date girls and they're always like the wrong girl. And I don't want to tell my mom. Yeah, I was dating this girl that's like half my age. And, you know, she's, you know,
because
she's,
you're not,
she's really wrong for me. And, you know, I'll tell you all about it, Mom. But I don't want I don't need my mom to hear that stuff.
But she's like, basically the idea is that because your mom sounds like she's a traditional right-wing person. She's a conservative. Your mom's a conservative.
She is now. I mean,
she voted for Romney.
Obama the first time. Oh, I mean, she's not like, but ever since she moved to Colorado, she's been crazy, like insane, like right-wing Tea Party style, like
Tea Party. So she's got
her friends are getting her, are sending her these emails, and they watched that movie 2016 or whatever the shit is called.
We got to watch
that. We should have a screening of that.
Let's have a screening of that. Where
I would
can
love
we
to
do
see
that?
It. She kept telling me, you have to see this movie, Doug. Don't vote for Obama. He's not a real American. You must watch this movie.
Let's.
I'm like, oh, my God.
You know what?
What the hell?
I'll email CineFamily and see if they'll let us do a screening there.
That's
that would
a
be
great
so
idea.
Fun. I'll email them and see, and then maybe we could have like a question and answer session afterwards or something.
How about we present it? We wear American flag shirts.
Yeah.
Like we're super into it.
We're giving away the gag. Anyway, man, to get back to the idea,
So
your mother.
I told my mom exactly what I told Uncle Ken. And we went, and my sister, it took her a few minutes to like, I'm like, I'm not lying. Like, I'm like way more straight. Like, if I was married, that's gay. You know what I mean? Like, I'm dating all kinds of girls, but I'm not going to talk about it. I just, that's not my personality.
Yeah. But they just wonder because people, the idea is, it's a very strange idea, but the idea is that if you haven't gotten.
Everyone in my family is married.
If you haven't gotten married.
Uh-huh.
Something's wrong.
Also, I'm like rounding 40.
Something's
I'm late 30s now.
Something's
wrong.
Yeah, it's an old.
It's just not for me. What do you want?
It's not for you.
Maybe one day it will be, but I'm not going to get married just because I want to fit in with my family more, who are a bunch of squares.
Well, yeah, and also, like, who wants to get fucking married? It's like, it's not like marriage is looking great these days.
It's not looking great. Half of them are getting divorced, right?
I think it's more than that.
It's more than half are end up in divorce.
Yeah. I mean, it's a...
It just doesn't seem natural to me.
It's not in the current mode that it's in. It's not natural. You're taking a goddamn... You're taking a beautiful, beautiful flower and just putting barbed wire around it. It's like... What this is again, man. This is just people want to control the Holy Spirit,
it's
brother.
Just the Holy Spirit trying to put a rope on
you
it.
Can't put handcuffs on the Holy Spirit. Won't be cuffed. And
do you believe that I'm not gay?
Yeah, I believe you're not gay. I believe you're not gay. And you know,
you know what? Like, I am totally. I don't care if people are gay. Like, I'm happy for my uncle. But after he said that, now I'm kind
of
like homophobic. I'm like, fuck gay people. Now I hate gays because they said that about
me. They got you. The gay agenda.
The gay agenda got me.
Yeah. The gay agenda got you.
No, but I'm kidding about that.
Of course.
But it's just funny that's I'm worried. My mom is like one of these worried moms all the time.
Yeah.
Is your mom really worried?
Oh, my mom's dying, so my mom's like gotten so cool. Like,
oh, sorry about
no,
that.
No, it's okay. But it really is okay. I don't want to like fucking like, I don't want to fuck with your head, man. But your mom's gonna die.
This dude, podcast is over,
dude. Yeah, man. Yeah, we were in a situation here, man. We're in a real tricky situation in this dimension right now. That's all. We got these moms, we got these dads, and some of these moms and dads are clinging to the old ways, and there's no way to change that. You're not going to change that. They're going to stay like that because it makes them feel safe because they're turning their back to the maelstrom. They don't want to look at it. They don't want to look at it.
You know what? I had this weird moment with my mom that I never told anyone about.
What's that?
It was maybe in the late 90s. Maybe I was in college. I might have been living with my parents. And it was just a daytime, sunny day, nice outside. We were walking around. I don't know. She was out in the backyard, and I went out to the garage or something. And then we both just started crying and hugged each other.
Oh, that's great.
It was just like one of those, like, we turned around and saw the maelstrom.
Yes.
That's what it was.
Yes.
Like, we didn't say what. There was nothing going on. There was no sad event in our life. It was just like, we're both going to die. Here's a hug.
Oh, I love it, man.
And then nothing was ever said about that moment again.
That is religion. That is God. That's the true religion. And when you experience that, you're touching God. That's what it is, man. It's those moments and they emerge. It's like you don't control that shit. You had no control over that thing coming into being at that time. It just did. It showed up.
Yeah.
Came around, said hello. Guess what? I'm totally real. I'm a living force. And it comes bubbling up from time to time. And the more you let go, the more you're not attached to false. The more you're not stuck in the, you're not clinging to ideas that aren't real, the more that thing tends to show up. It just doesn't like it, it.
Maybe I'll tell my mom to listen to this podcast.
Tell her. Yeah, you should.
She's not going to like that shit I said about the Pope.
Well, you know, maybe don't tell her to listen. We can't. There's different. I mean, the thing is, man, like when you first find out about something, especially if it's like you find out there's no Santa Claus.
Yeah.
And you run into kids who still believe in Santa Claus. There is an impulse. Where you just want to be like, no, no Santa Claus, no Santa Claus, no Santa Claus, no Santa Claus, no Santa Claus.
Well, my mom says all these things about, I'm praying for you. And like whenever something good happens to me, she's like, well, my prayers were answered. And I'm glad you
beautiful.
Glad you got that job or whatever.
Take the prayers. Take
and
it.
And I'm like, thanks, Mom. Thanks for praying for me. But, sometimes she gets religious about shit. And I don't want to say like, you know, Mom, I think religion is kind of bullshit. I don't want to say anything because it's like her thing, you know.
Well, you got to go back to that moment you had and just, you know, like just reference that moment.
I don't know if she even remembers. That was like 15 years ago.
She might not. But you just keep going back to that moment. You reference that moment and you make that moment your palette. And you think, would that moment paint a picture where I'm like confronting someone about it's like, I look at it as a language situation. It's like if I get around somebody who's religious, and unfortunately I don't get around enough.
Is your
religion.
Mom religious?
She's extremely spiritual, but she's not religious, but she's extremely, extremely spiritual.
That's how you got that native spirit.
That's how I got it. That's part of how I got it. But you also with the help of LSD and a lot of other things, but you end up, the idea is, so you have someone coming to you and they're saying, I'm praying for you. I believe this and this and this and that. And they're saying the same thing. They're communicating something to you. The language, the symbol structure they're using is one that you don't adhere to. But it comes up again and again in various scriptures that the idea is not to disturb these people. The idea is not to like shake them up or get them like knocked. The idea is to live your life to the fullest. And then just through that, the effect of living your life to the fullest is going to cause the kind of shift that you'd like to cause by directly confronting somebody who's living in a state of illusion.
Should one die their death to the emptiest?
Yeah. Die your death to the emptiest. That's a funny book. Dying to the deepest empty.
Dying your death the emptiest.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I just think it's like, I don't know, man. You know, like, I understand why atheists are so profoundly disturbed by some fundamentalists, because the fundamentalists cause so many problems. And I think there's a place for Dawkins and for the vocal, angry atheists who are shaking the tree. But
what's Dawkins?
Richard Dawkins, the God.
I thought you were talking about like Dawkin the band.
Yeah, I think there's
D-O-K-K-E-N.
I think there's a place for Dawkins.
Like a Dawkin is an extremely boisterous atheist. Is a Dawkin. D-O-K-K-E-N. Those Dawkins, they got to be out there. We need them.
We need the Dawkins. We do need Dawkins. Everyone serves their own
like,
goddamn
that's a cool
purpose.
Band name, Dawkins.
Dawkins. Everyone needs him. The world, we need, you need every little, you need every little drop. You need every snowflake. You need every fucking, all of it. Just some of it is not appealing.
Yeah. getting back to like raw dogging it.
Yes.
I'm very happy when I'm like not raw dogging it and there is the veil is kind of pulled over my head a little bit. And I'm just riding my bike in that moment, feeling the juices of my body.
Yeah.
Feeling those endorphins. Not like, why are these cars here? This is just pointless. There's why is there concrete?
Raw dogging it does not mean that your mind is constantly in a state of disturbed turbulence. That's not raw dogging it. Raw dogging it is that state of like fucking just merging in totally. Raw dogging it is, the problem is there's no like, raw dogging it is just accepting it. That's all. It's accepting what's happening instead of trying to push it away from you or put your head in the sand. It's like as much as you can, just accept what's happening. Don't numb out, tune out. You know, that's what people try to do. I do it. You know, when the thing where you find yourself surfing the internet for 3 hours straight and you set up this force field where you're like just distracting the thinking part of your mind by endlessly going through these.
Yeah. That's, I do that a lot. I like to be distracted and be busy with so many projects and shows that I can't have any time to sit and think about sadness.
See, this is the idea.
That's wrong.
That's not wrong, but
not good.
It's the idea is if, here's the thing. If you can just begin to practice turning into the maelstrom, a little bit here, a little bit there, then what begins happening to the maelstrom is you realize it's not a maelstrom. And then you begin to realize it's the most beautiful thing you've ever seen in your life. But it's so beautiful that you've been trying to compact it down and close it down to the point where you had to turn away because you thought it was hideous. That's what happens. So now all of a sudden you realize it's not a maelstrom. You're living in paradise, and you're really living in paradise because you've like come in contact with the truth and you found that it's creating a bliss state inside of you. Instead of being like, oh my God, what the fuck? I'm disturbed. I'm scared. I'm going to die. That's from looking away. That's from looking away. It's from looking away from the beast. It's like, man, when you've got fucking bills to pay, when you've been putting something off, when you've been putting off a fucking call to make, when you've been putting off going to the doctor because you're sick, when you've been putting off doing all these different things, that is a million times more disturbing than getting the diagnosis, than fucking getting the audit, than getting the goddamn horror story. Because then you realize it's not a horror story. There never was a horror story. There is no horror story. There's no Satan. There's no demon. There's just changes.
I mean, yeah, I've thought about that, and that's comforting to think. You know what's worse than there not being a heaven?
What?
That there being a hell. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what's better than there being a hell?
What?
Being just nothing after death.
Well,
just oblivion or whatever.
Oblivion. Well, we're talking about, I mean, to us it would
like some kid in China doesn't accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So like for infinity they're in hell.
Oh yeah.
I mean,
but let's imagine this.
Okay, I'm just
the kid doesn't believe. Let's say the kid does believe in Jesus.
Okay.
Now let's say that the kid is brought into heaven,
mm-hmm.
and in heaven it's paradise.
John 3:16.
External paradise and internal paradise. In heaven you are given all things, and within you there's only this deep tranquility. Now, the situation on earth is one of a perplexing confusion that sweeps through the human spirit on a regular basis. Anxiety, unhappiness, suffering seems to be a part of being human. So by plucking this being out of this dimension where anxiety and disturbance and impermanence are a quality, as much of a quality of it as three-dimensional space, and popping them in a place where suddenly they're instantly happy by some magical act, you have that being that you pulled up out of Earth, it's in oblivion now. It's gone. You killed it. You killed
It's a junkie.
You killed it by putting it into heaven. What I'm saying is,
it's a heroin junkie.
It's just blissed out the whole time. It's a nothing. It's just equal. It's an equal sign. You've taken a thing. You've turned it into a nothingness by putting it into pure paradise because you've removed contrast. So it's like the whole point is, like, heaven or fucking hell, you're still dealing with the same basic truth. If you have a node of consciousness that you consider to be yourself, you're still dealing with a basic problem of interacting with matter. So it's like, it doesn't matter where you put the fucking thing. I mean, look at goddamn Chris. I keep bringing up Chris Brown. Look at fucking Chris Brown. Look at goddamn any Disturbed celebrity who's in this dimension is being given as much of heaven as you can have. And look how freaked out they are still. It doesn't, the external thing isn't going to help, because you were talking about the essence of what we are. The essence of what we are.
I mean, if you look at these celebrities, like people that are so at the top of whatever is supposed to be the ideal life, they just seem like that's not. Can you name one person that's like mega rich or whatever who's not a creep?
William Shatner.
Yeah, I mean, they're out there, but you need to have some. I think I had a brain fart.
You need to have the point,
because you're so good at talking, and then I try to talk, and then I.
You're great at fucking talking, man. This is the fucking idea. The idea is come to the point of suffering fully. Stop ignoring the suffering. Recognize it. Know that part of being human is suffering. Know that the suffering is not abnormal. Know that the maelstrom is all there is, and everything else is bullshit.
You think Chris Brown is fucked up because the contrast has been taken away. He's just been given everything he wants on a platter.
Yeah.
And he needs some kind of suffering.
Well, he's selfish.
And that's what turns kings into pigs.
Yeah, selfishness. Selfish, selfish, selfish. It's always selfishness. It always has its root in fucking selfishness. It's always like, I want this all to myself, and you can't have it. That's it. This is the goddamn idea of their, this is a non-unitive state. The most extreme non-unitive state that you can get into is one where you believe that there's limited resources and that you have to fight for these limited resources and hurt other people so that you can have happiness. The opposite of that is like, I don't care about these limited resources. I'm just going to help people around me as much as I can. And if I can't do that, I'm going to try not to hurt them as a form of service. It's just tricky. Anyway, man, fucking,
it's tricky.
It's tricky, but it's a beautiful thing because it's like, it's a puzzle box. Suddenly, when you start thinking in this way, it's like the universe is giving you a new toy. It's giving you a Rubik's Cube. It's giving you
So when you're confronted with suffering, or you recently had cancer.
Yes, have.
Were you like, this is cool? I got a different journey right now.
Well, I hated it at first. I mean, it was the most upsetting.
I was kidding. I mean, that's got to be an upsetting thing.
Well, no, but now I am like.
But now you're like, I'm glad I might have gone through that.
Oh, my God. It was like my prayers were answered in the form of fucking cancer, dude. My whole life, man. Like, I mean, I don't get to meet the guru in this life, I don't think. I didn't get to meet Neem Karoli Baba. I don't get to meet, like, a super enlightened being. So the way that it came to me, or the way that I was given life again, was through death and through sickness. And that, like, activated something in me where it's like, oh my God, this fucking existence is so very, very limited and so very, very beautiful. And these truths that I've been trying to escape from in my own way are actually, there's pleasure underneath it.
I think one of the greatest gifts you can be given is some kind of like hardship in life. I mean, the hardship itself sucks, but having gone through it, it gives you like some tools. Or something. It gives you just like a strength or something. Very cliche.
It's like, cliche, but it's real,
it's
man.
True.
You just need something to, you just, basically, you need two things. You need the event, whatever the phenomenon is. And by the way, we've all had the fucking event already. You don't need fucking cancer. You just need cancer if you're lazy. But we've all had the fucking event. So it's like, you need the event first.
You're lazy?
Oh, yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Totally fucking lazy. Took everything for granted. Fucking pig. But like you, and I don't think that's necessarily like it's just me. I think a lot of us do that, but I definitely did. You know, not respecting my body and being a fucking dope. Now you and being mean sometimes and being like just not trying as hard as I could try. But anyway, the point is, you need to look into the truth. And if you get an extreme case of truth, parents die, cousin dies, you get cancer, you get AIDS, you get a disease, you're fucking you know, house gets taken away from you or whatever, the way that the teacher comes to you, you, instead of becoming a victim, you look deeply into that thing's eyes and you feel the pain. You feel the fucking horror. You sit with the horror. You sit with it and stop trying to avoid it. And you don't like, you don't goddamn like numb it out or pretend that you're avoiding it. You're like, no, this hurts. This fucking hurts. And you sit there with it and you sit there with it and you let it be and you watch it. And all of a sudden it's like, wait a minute, this doesn't hurt. This feels like love. Why does this feel like love? This feels like life. This feels like I'm living for real. It feels like I've been born. That's the shift. And when that fucking shift happens, and all of a sudden you're like not living in a goddamn haunted mansion anymore.
You're in the basement of that mansion strapped into some dildos.
If that's your thing, baby. That'd be amazing if underneath the haunted mansion there's just a room of dildos that you, that like if you have like a priority access, that'd be you know, man, that is weird. They don't have like adult theme parks with roller coasters that have like that as part of the ride, you just get fucked with dildos. They don't have sexual roller coasters.
Adult theme park.
Yeah, like some lubricated tunnels you go through with
Disneyland.
You will get fucked at Disneyland. Like you do get fucked there. Like there's
69 flags.
There would be no question but that you're going to get fucked. If you go to Disneyland, it's like you're getting fucked. Like you go there with towels and stuff because you know you're going to end up like with
you
like
wipe down at the end.
You all day. Like a water park. You got to wipe down all fucking
It's a
day.
Water park of fluids.
It's just jizz.
Well, there's some female jizz.
They have one of those infinite rivers, but it's just made of artificial semen. Okay. You float down it on condoms. No, you'd float down it on giant sperm.
What if there's like KY slides? What's that called?
KY jelly. Lube slides.
Astro glide slides.
It's lube level. Shows how fast the slide is. It's lube level 9.
Sure, you ready for lube level 9?
That's the journey of the sperm. I mean, it's one of the you start in line, you go up a leg and spiral around a leg till finally, like right before you get into the slide, you're in a testicle. And then you have to wear like a sperm suit and you jump in and it just fucking shoots you so fast through a slide that you blast out of a dick and land in like a warm, frothy egg pool.
The Epcot Center.
See, that's the problem. We're so fucking scared of sex, we can't have a Disneyland. And that would be so fun. That would be so fucking fun, but we're so terrified of sex, you don't get adult theme parks. You don't even get any of that.
Do you ever get terrified? Do you ever like look on porn and you're like terrified that people are that getting that like crazy?
Yeah, it makes me feel like I'm not living my life to the fullest. It's like,
oh, like they are?
No, I mean, if you see somebody like cavorting in that way, who's really not acting but really enjoying it, I don't know. There's part of me that's like, well, they fucking conquered something to be able to like do that. They conquered some kind of fear to be able to do that. You know, I think there's something beautiful about it, really. I mean, not like all porn, like it just depends. There's such a spectrum of, I mean, it's always, after you come, when you jerk off to porn, it's always just like, ew.
Yeah.
Forgive me for saying that. That's a fucking, Rogan has a joke exactly like that. God, shit. Anyway.
I've heard that joke.
Go check that.
And that thought.
You've had
expressed
that
before.
Yeah. Anyway, though, it's true. After you look at goddamn porn, you definitely have this sense of like, I mean, it's the, oh, goddamn, let's bring it right back. It's the absurd state. When your mind's,
what's the absurd man?
The absurd state is suddenly you.
Do this. You got something here.
Oh, fuck.
It's still there. It was a little cum. It's okay. It's gone.
Dude, I told you not to fucking do that. The absurd state is one where you like, yeah, when you're looking after you come, after you jerk off to porn, or you realize like, oh, this is just dog.
Then you're looking at it totally differently.
This is dogs humping.
You're like, what the fuck are they doing?
I mean, not literally dogs humping, but this is just an animalistic thrusting that I've attached so much significance to that I've almost built an entire life around its pursuit. And you get that moment of like, oh, nothing. It's nothing. Oh, it's nothing. And that's one version of it, I guess. I mean, it's all basically rooted in the inevitability of your demise, that we're all on death row and that we're all in our cells building lives and pretending that it's permanent. And like, that's the beginning of absurdity, is instead of like pretending that you're, you know, sitting under the, you're in this like set that you've constructed in inside your prison in death row, it's tearing the set down and being like, oh, okay, I'm imprisoned in a body, I'm an imprisoned mortal, and I'm on death row, and I'm going to die. And now I'm going to find happiness as I am instead of as I was pretending to be. You know, that's mm-hmm. the idea.
Well, that's not a good setup, though, saying you're in prison.
Well, I mean, we are imprisoned in a way. You know, if many of us are in prison, most of us are. We have jobs. We have to pay the bills. We have to act. We have to move. We have to be. You have to every day.
I have to be.
You have to be. You got no choice, bud. You, the shackles of existence are firmly handcuffed around your soul, and there's no way that you're getting them off as long as you have a heartbeat. So it's like you start acknowledging, like, yeah, this is what's happening, and then through that.
Wait, what about not to be?
That is the question.
Yeah, that's like a suicide question. Is that what he's at? Is that what Shakespeare's saying there?
I just read that's he was saying, oh, fuck, man. It's more about action, I think. I mean, it is about suicide. That is the question. Like, why don't you kill yourself? That's the big question. Well, you know, what are you doing here?
Well, since most people, the older I get, it is 1:46. I got plenty of time.
Cool.
The older I get and the more babies my sisters have, makes me think, like, am I supposed to have kids in life?
Yeah.
You know, like, is that just something I have to do because that's what you're supposed to do? I don't ever like that feeling where it's like, I got to go to college now because that's what you're supposed to do. Like, I should have that, like, baby in my arms feeling like I want a baby here.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't have that. And then it also makes me think, you look at some kids and they're kind of screwed up and they're shit kids, and if I have a kid, there's a chance that kid's going to be a shit kid.
Mm-hmm.
I try my best not to do that, but
yep.
Never know about genes mixing up wrong.
Sure. Anything could happen.
You get the acid wash genes mixed up with some 501s.
Oh, you got a roughie.
We got some tough skins coming out.
You got a tough skin little bitch.
Yeah. So, I don't know what my point. I was going down this to be or not to be.
What you're saying is,
like, do you think kids want to be born? You know what I mean?
Well, I think that there's,
like, I guess I'm glad that I'm alive and I'm having a life.
Well, you got no choice.
But I mean, if I wasn't having that, then it would be, I just would never have. There would be not to be.
You can't know. In fact, existence is oblivion. Is the extinction of oblivion. The state of existence is the death of oblivion, and oblivion is the death of existence, but they're just the same goddamn coin. You're just on one side of the wall instead of the other side of the wall. What's better? You know, who the fuck knows?
So I shouldn't feel bad if I don't want to have a kid, because neither way is better.
Well, no, because you are in oblivion. I mean, the main thing is that this is the thing. You are oblivion, and that's the thing people don't realize is it's the whole fucking thing is oblivion, in the sense it's all this one thing. This is the Buddhist idea. This is a conceptualization. Come to your true identity, impermanence, recognize you're a temporary fleeting waveform, and through that understanding, allow your activity to be derived. But don't derive your activity based on illusion. Let your activity be a spontaneous expression of the truth of what you really are, because you've let go and become the thing. If that brings a little bitch baby out of your sweet doll's puss, great. If it doesn't, great. But don't fucking have a baby because somebody thinks you should have a fucking baby. Don't get married because people say you should get married. Don't do any goddamn thing. Don't live another man's path. That's the idea. And the courageous move is just to be like, yeah, I don't have a baby right now. What, are you going to go on a baby hunt? You're going to get on a dating show? You're going to start desperately trying to find someone you think is a good person to impregnate with a kid?
I want to mate with someone, like, on scientific principles. Like, I want to run the blood and the genes together and be like, that'll be a good baby.
Smell. You gotta like somebody's smell.
Yeah, you know those smelling dates that they have?
Yeah.
Where they put a t-shirt. Here's what they do. You know about it. I'm just saying it for the podcast. You wear a t-shirt for like 3 days straight. You sleep in it every night, and then you put it in a plastic bag, and then you write a number on it, and then you go to this singles party, and people smell each other's T-shirts and whatever, and then they like hook up based on who smells. I mean, it stinks, but it's like a tang that.
Yeah.
It's like, who's got the nice kind of musk?
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah.
Because the nose knows best when it comes to who you should be mating with.
Yes.
And whose jeans should be mixing
That's
with your
right.
jizz.
That's right.
Taking her to Disneyland.
To add, yeah.
Who do you
yeah.
want to go to Disneyland with?
Who do I want to go to Disneyland with?
Yeah.
Fuck, man.
Sydney Crawford?
I think the cool thing about Disneyland is it's like they've got like sex androids there based on whoever you want to fuck. That's like part of the fun is you can just get that out of your system. And maybe they'd have to have injections there that reinvigorate your levels of horniness, because after you fucked in Disneyland like five robots, you're going to get tired. So you got to like get some fair. But anyway, the idea is like here's the crazy fucking idea is that when you begin to like just go off of who you really are, that's when you end up putting out the right pheromones. You know, when you start going off what you really are and really acting from your true self as a real expression of who you are, then that's when you start putting out what you really are into the world through actions, the pheromones of your actions. And through that, you bring into your existence the right, exact right thing. And then maybe a baby comes that way because you've harmonized with yourself. It's just this, it's when you're putting out that fucking like thing of when you're expressing yourself falsely. This is why like the whole pickup artist thing sometimes is annoying to me, is because it's a false expression. It's not real. It's not like they're really expressing.
Yeah,
themselves.
You're picking up someone based on some kind of code that
yeah.
they think. Yeah, you're lying to them.
And that's, I mean, you're gonna get, if that stuff works and it gets you fucked, that's fine, but man.
I read an article in Wired yesterday about this woman that kind of studied online dating sites and kind of cracked the code. She studied, like, the most successful profiles on there.
Yeah.
And, like, looked for all the keywords, and she put all those keywords into her profile, and she studied what pictures work the best. Turns out you want to, like, have fake candid pictures and show a little cleavage. So she showed a little cleavage.
Yeah.
And then, she figured out the code, and you have to lie a little bit. You kind of, like, lie. And
yeah.
then she found, like, the best man, like her dream man, and she's married to him now.
Wow.
So she lied her way to the top of a date. She became the ultimate online dater. And then, yeah. No.
How long have they been together?
I don't know. It was a very short article. It was one of those kind of, like, grid
articles. She sounds
like
a real fucking Einstein.
It was on J-Date, so she could be.
Shocking! Shocking! I have discovered that if you show cleavage on a dating site, more guys respond to you. Wow! That's like the equivalent of the discovery of electricity. I've discovered that if I rub soap on my body, I smell better! Well, interesting.
So you don't think you could meet a partner by scientific number crunching?
Well, this is what I think, man. I think you goddamn dive into the river of life as fully as you fucking can, based on who you are. Drop the manipulation. Drop the fucking, like, tricks. Just be. Just fucking go for it, man. Just go for it, and you will get laid in the real way. Life will come springing towards you in any form that you want it to be.
That's how I do it.
Yeah, man. And that's why your fucking art is so good. That's why you're so fucking funny. That's why, like, you make the funniest sketches ever, is because you allow yourself to be exactly you as much as you can. That's the most beautiful fucking thing, man.
Thanks, man.
Yeah. And from that, everything else comes. You want to get a girl, you want to find a soulmate, or you want to find a lover. Well, really all you want is love. And really all that love is God. And if you connect with that first in yourself.
Connect with, you just be honest, and then it'll come.
Yeah, because you're going to start resonating in that place. And when you resonate in that place, just like when you had a tuning fork, other things around you will come out of the will come from the background into the foreground. But first, you got to take that fucking leap of faith. And before you take the leap of faith, you got to see the fucking cliff. You can't take a leap if you don't see the cliff. You got to see the fucking cliff. You got to see the maelstrom. You got to see the horror, the suffering, and the truth. And you go diving into that goddamn shit. And guess what's at the bottom of it? A nice, warm puddle of jizz.
That's Disneyland.
Disneyland is at the bottom of the leap of faith, my sweet darlings. Whenever you jump off that fucking leap of faith, the only way to get to Disneyland is to take a leap of faith. That's the entrance. That's how you get in. And boy, Disneyland's fucking fun. It's great over here, friends. Get your fucking balls checked. Go to the doctor. Turn to the fucking maelstrom. Stare it straight in the fucking eye and watch it transform into a nice, pulsating, wet, beautiful, sweet, tangy-smelling vagina. Woo. Doug Pound, where can we find you?
Staring into the maelstrom.
Staring at that fucking maelstrom, man.
Go to DougPound.com or just look at Twitter/DougPound or go to check out my video on YouTube, Beanbag.
I'm going to post that on this at DuncanTrussell.com. Scroll down to go to the comments section. That this thing is going to be that'll be the first video there. Go if you Doug Pound comes to your town, this human puts on one of the most unique and hilarious next level comedy acts I've ever seen in my fucking life. You crushed it's Satellite, man. I just saw him perform. I hadn't seen him perform in a while. Your new jokes are so awesome, dude. You've hit this amazing acceleration. Thanks, that's so cool to watch. If he is around and you can go see this person perform, go bring your friends. They will be impressed with you. It's a fucking hilarious, hilarious
bring act. Some cute girls. You
bring
know,
some
so,
dolls.
So my mom doesn't think I'm gay anymore.
Let's get Doug. Let's show Doug. Let's get pics of Doug fucking. That's what you need to do is send pictures of you fucking to your mom.
With a girl, right?
Yeah. And then tell your mom to send the same. Or, with a girl.
just text him just email him to my mom. No subject. Just like,
FYI.
FYI.
And it's just you, just fucking. Just fucking several.
You wanted to know, Mom.
Here's the truth.
The subject, maelstrom.
Maelstrom. All right, Doug, we're out of here. Thank you very much. Thanks for doing the show, man.
Preach.
That was Doug Lussenhop, everybody. Why not give us a nice rating on iTunes if you like this podcast? And now you are about to hear an intense band called Ohm. My friend Emil Amos is in this band. They are coming to Los Angeles to Eagle Rock on Monday. I'll post a link to that show on my website. I'm going to be there. And I hope that you sweeties decide to come out because it's going to be an awesome show. It's at the Eagle Rock Center for the Arts. Here is Ohm playing Annapurna. Buy it on iTunes.
The flight to create a gradient rays, the call to send the deep. And reach supreme the goal left I have to surrender. Centripetal core of souls sojourn, the field vibrates to absolution. raise the goal to set the team. And reach supreme, the goal that I am to surrender. Souls adjourn, the field vibrates to absolution. I climb toward the sun to breathe the universal. Light, freedom, radiant rays, the gold descendant.